I'ma say what I feel, and I promise to keep it real.
Welcome to the Rant Room.
Well, you gotta be a rider till your fears are diminished and the doubts are behind ya. It's hard to grind and the business got me stressed. In the rent room, we let that shit up off our chest. You know the street nerd has got no time for no caca. Sass in class, yes, that's Mr. Bolakaja. Never have to guess when you're listening to Hilliard. He gon' bring more game than a shark playing billiards. It's all about the crap of screenwriting. It's exciting when you turn an outline into something enlightening. Your pen and words are like bullets in a gun. Write what you feel, say what you want.
Welcome to the Rant Room.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Hilliard Guest. You guys are listening to the Screenwriters Rant Room, where we keep it real, we keep it opinionated, we keep it what, Chris?
Wakanda.
That's right, we're getting ready for the Black Panther show, girl.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
10 days left, man. Ten days left.
The countdown begins.
I cannot wait.
I didn't tell you, Chris, I actually had tickets to go to the premiere, but I couldn't go. Because Gary from the LGBT committee, who's my co-chair, had a reading at the Writers Guild, so I had to go. So I couldn't go.
It looked pretty fierce, I have to say.
How come I wasn't, you know...
What?
Why didn't you get the ticket?
Yeah, you should
have. Oh. Well, when we got married, me and my husband got married, city councilman, Mitch O'Farrell, married us. So the mayor came to the wedding. It was like a crazy.
Well, we've known him. Yeah.
And so, what was all that damn? See how it is in Hollywood, y'all? The damn ghetto bird everywhere.
emergency.
And so we always have tickets to different things like political events.
Okay. So
they were giving them tickets. Okay. So they were like, well, they're in the industry, so you guys want to go? And I was like, yeah, they asked me on Sunday. Okay. So
you have to get your what's that? The Eddie Murphy movie? Sumunda? You have to get your clothing from that ready to go. Otherwise you're not gonna look right. You can't get a one day notice to go to that. You better go to that.
Everybody we know were there.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room. On this show, we discuss entertainment, TV, film, music, culture. But our focus is always screenwriting, stories, craft, and shit like that. So you hear my man's voice over there. That's Chris Derrick from the writing and directing team, the Derrick Brothers. What's going on, Chris? How you feeling?
Doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You got that reel done?
Reel is done.
He just redid his reel.
He's
an awesome director.
And I finally, I have two scenes left to do on Scott's notes, finally, because I've been sick. Mm-hmm. But one was just so fun to do. That's to be ready, hopefully, tonight.
Can we tell Jenny what you're writing?
Offline.
Okay.
So that's good. What else?
It's one of those scripts, Jenny, where, and you know this, having been a former manager, that your clients, the ones who succeeded, film in particular, the script they wrote was the one everybody told them not to write.
Always.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then boom. And this is one of those scripts.
I get this email from Paul Keough on, I think, Friday, maybe Saturday. Mm-hmm. It just says, so I read your script. That's the subject line. And then always says in the email was, I want your gift bag at the, like from the Golden Globe nomination.
Really? Oh, I did not nice. Tell you. I told you. That's like, awesome.
It's funny because that's the third person who told me, the Globes is dope because of the gift bag.
Right.
That is true.
I was kind of like, there's no gift bag at the Oscar?
It used to be, but they had to stop it.
They had to? Why?
Yeah, I don't know. There were some problems. I don't remember. A few years ago, I'm pretty sure. They ended the gift bag thing at the Oscars. But they have, like, sweets and stuff, but there's not, like, a goodie bag anymore.
Okay.
I don't know.
So, a little disclaimer, Lisa Bolakaja is gone for the week, but she'll be back hopefully in the next week or two.
Yeah, well, see, that she comes on one taping all year.
All year. We had her once this year. Look.
Well, it's only February. Exactly. Feels like it's May.
But this is like the fourth or fifth taping, so right. It's like, you know, what's right. The deal?
It's just like, hey, I'm here. Exactly. Why are you even talking about Lisa?
So,
just kidding, Lisa.
Anyway, so Lisa's not here, but we got my man in the house.
Oh, I have one thing.
Go ahead.
One more recommendation. So everyone's talking about the show called Altered Carbon. You know, it's coming out. And I'm getting ready to watch it on Thursday night at midnight. Perfect. And right when I click on, there's this show called Babylon Berlin.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Which I've been waiting for over
that?
A year. Mm-hmm. It's directed by Tom Twyker. He's like, you know, who did like Run Lola Run and stuff like that. And it's this show that I knew he was doing based on this book series. It's set in like 1929 in Berlin, like right before the rise of Hitler.
Right.
It's all about like, you know, that really fast paced, like bohemian lifestyle, like the pornography and drug use at that time. It was the pilot.
It's up your alley, Jenny.
The pilot.
I'm there.
The pilot was so good.
So
the
there.
Pilot was so, I mean, the opening four, like the opening 2 minutes, were like, I was like, oh, this is going to be cool.
Because
he's such a good director.
Well, Tom Twyker's great. And Berlin in that time was fascinating.
Totally fascinating. So that's my recommendation for
learning something about Chris.
That's what he's deep. So if you guys are grown, let's go ahead and get into the show. So today we got my girl on the show, Jenny Frankert, former manager at one of the top companies back in the day. So you know what you're talking about.
I do.
And now,
Finish line
script competition.
Third year. Yeah.
So let's get into it.
Let's do it.
So for the kids who don't know who you are, just give them just a little gist of who you are.
Yeah.
Well, who haven't heard the previous episode.
Yeah. I can't believe anyone out there doesn't know who I am.
I know. Can you believe it?
Anyway.
She is Meryl Streep's cousin, by the way. Yeah.
That's right. That's how I got here. I became a lit manager. I went to film school for a few years back at NYU.
From the East Coast?
In the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, in the East Coast. And started in representation back in New York. Mm-hmm. Moved out here. Deeper into representation.
You did it for a long time, right?
For a long time, till I got so burnt out, man. And that's what happens. But, I work with writers and directors and actors and performers and everybody. Mm-hmm. And then I focused on writers because that was really where I felt my passion was and where I could best represent people.
Right.
And did that for a really long time, like 20 plus years, sometimes on my own, sometimes at a company, and so on. And then decided I just couldn't do it anymore. Not because I didn't love the writers, because that's what I love, but the business, man, it just sort of...
Talking about the business, is there, do you think, because I notice a lot of managers... Like will move, a lot of agents will become managers late in their career, or some of them will just stay and become they'll become an executive or something like that.
Yeah,
is there a reason? Do you think, or do you think? Let me just ask you this. Maybe it's a personal thing. Mm. Do you think it's a choice between the personalities of becoming a manager, becoming an agent, or do you think the road there? Like, what do you think?
It's definitely. Well, I can't say definitely. For me, I started off in agenting. I started off in the mail room at William Morris before it was merged with Endeavor.
Way before.
I am. No, and then ICM out here. And agenting is about, it's about like jobs. I mean, there's very little creative going on. It's just rolling calls, checking, you know, pitching clients. But there isn't a lot of, like passion, well, for me at least, there wasn't a lot of passion involved in it. And I felt really passionate about some of the people that we were working with. And then as I started to work on my own, wanting to get into, you know, management, because you have a smaller group of people and you're not just pitching a list of the whole agency. Mm-hmm. You get to talk about specific people and help them grow their career. And you work with kind of developing them, if that's the kind of... Most managers want to do that because managers can produce and agents can't. So...
Has it always been that way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you want to produce and you, let's say you work with Meryl Streep, mm-hmm. and you want to produce for her,
right.
you have to be her manager.
Right.
And so that happens a lot. People right. tend to end up producing for a client that they help develop or right. becomes their big client okay. or a client like that. So, yeah, and it's also a much more personally involved, career rather than agenting. Because a right. lot of the time with agents, when back in the day, there weren't as many managers. That now there's a lot of managers. Right. And people
you can
have
find
managers.
One in any corner.
You can find them in any corner. And, but they, a lot of people just had agents. And it's much more nurturing, and you're really right. trying to, figure out someone's career and where the best place is for them to be right. and who they should be meeting instead of sort of just like, an open writing assignment. Let's just mm-hmm. pitch them, kind of thing. So it's much more personal. And I loved that. So.
Right. So you did that for a long time. You yeah. had some really big clients, some successful clients. So eventually you left that and started the Finish Line. Was there a process that went by where you were like, no, I'm still, were you like out of the industry for a minute and then you came back? Or
no,
what happened there?
No, I was doing some stuff sort of on my own with some scripts, sniffing around, seeing if I wanted to
produce or something,
get into producing right, more. Right. I felt like you really have to be passionate about what you want to produce because it takes a long time and right. you really have to...
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, uh-huh. I hear that. So you really have to just every day feel like you're going to go and do it, And that's how you have to feel for this business in the first place. Right. No matter what you're doing, whether you're a writer, a producer, or a director, a manager, you got to really feel it every right. day because somebody out there is...
Oh, because it'll kill you. If you don't, I mean,
true.
There's too many other people. First
yeah, the
of all,
competition's too strong.
Yeah,
it's there's too so many people are so dedicated. So many people like who I meet a lot have like the financial freedom to
yeah.
be so dedicated at it.
That's true.
It's like and that is so you have to stay working hard.
You
always.
Do, and and one of the things that I realized as a manager was, and the people that I ended up representing. Was I needed to really, really feel passionate about their yeah. work because I had to really pitch them. Like,
right.
I cared deeply about
exactly.
their livelihood, my livelihood,
right.
and that's how it comes down to in mm-hmm. management, because you're getting them their jobs and you're making them their living. So, or they're making their living, but you're getting, you're part of that process,
right.
of course. So it's like once you start to feel a little less than... Not about the people, but just about the business, which can,
right.
It's taxing after a while. It's hard
Very.
To get up for it every
right.
day. So I decided to quit management, and then I did a lot of script consulting
okay.
for a long period of time, and that sort of led me into creating the Finish Line script competition.
Right.
But I always kept that line going with the writers because I thought, that's really where my passion is
right.
helping writers, and I know that's where my skills are.
Right.
So
let's do for the three people who don't know about Finish Line script competition. Let's
yeah.
tell them about it and how it works and what separates it from the other
yeah,
competitions.
Yeah, sure. I'll try and give the abridged version, but we're in our third year
okay.
and we just started, so I have no idea what the future holds, but I hope it's very bright.
Right.
We grew 500% last year.
500%.
Wow.
Yeah. 500%,
wow.
yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah. Which was encouraging,
right? Well, I'm telling you, we haven't talked, but you actually had a pretty good episode as far as
yeah.
numbers.
Oh, did I?
So yeah, we were all
know.
Over the world.
I didn't know.
So
that.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here today.
Mm-hmm.
Then no, I'm
follow
sorry.
Up. See, it's the sequel.
Yeah,
bring
wait,
me
wait,
back
wait. See,
because
wait,
of the
wait. Where are my 10%?
Yeah. I didn't know. I did say I was going to bring you some sweets today, but I didn't.
You see how I get treated, Chris? Oh,
no, I get no candy, nothing, man. What are you
Well, what we did, there's a million, here's the thing, there's a million script competitions
there
out there. And so it's like, what do you do that separates you from the rest? And when I was doing script consulting and I was reading for script competitions
mm-hmm.
during that kind of off period, I realized I'd be like, this is a really good script, but it's not there.
Right.
And somebody clearly rushed through it to make a deadline,
right.
which is what you see people on Twitter do. I'm rushing to get to the deadline and
right.
nickel or whatever, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I would always think if someone had given them notes and rewrote, and they had the time to rewrite this,
mm-hmm.
then it would have, This would have been a much better script.
Right.
And somebody may have given them notes, but then they got into this deadline freak out.
Right.
So I thought, well, I give really good notes. I mean, I've been doing it for a long time. Right. I went to film school. Mm-hmm. I work with writers for 20 years. You know, mm-hmm. I know what a good yeah. script is, and right. I know what needs to be fixed. So I decided to create a competition where you could enter and purchase notes for a really low fee,
mm-hmm.
comparably speaking.
Oh, God, compared to other script consultants?
Yes,
trust me.
And that would, so if you bought notes, you would be entered into the competition, or you could just enter your script as is if you don't want notes.
No.
And then you could keep rewriting while you were entered into the competition.
So let's break that down. How does that work? So
okay.
if I'm a writer,
okay.
explain it that
way. All right, so you write a script called The Hill Dog,
right.
and you enter it.
That's
for
a winner,
notes.
By the way. Just that you know.
Trademark. you write a script called The Hill Dog. You send it in for notes.
Mm-hmm.
In about a week, we turn it around.
Wow, that fast.
Yeah, pretty
that's
much.
Good.
Yep, six plus notes,
okay.
as long as it takes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but minimum six pages of intense notes from. General, like, this is what you need to work on, right. to now we're going to get into what it is,
right.
From front to back. And then we send them back to you, and right. then you can rewrite and resubmit new drafts for free,
hmm.
as many times as you want to. So you can actually submit and then get notes from Joe down the street,
right.
or your writing buddy, or whomever,
right.
and submit. We don't really care if, I mean, we'd prefer that you get notes from us, because... You know, it's a business, but we want to make sure that your writing gets better.
So, how does that work on your end? Then, if I send in my script,
yeah.
you give me notes, and I rework it over the next month or whatever.
Yeah, and you have a long time to rework
right,
it, by
right.
the way, because that's how the competition is set up, so that you're not rushing to get the
right.
notes back.
That's the worst.
Oh God,
it's the worst.
And
it affects the script.
So I'm playing devil's advocate
yeah,
for the
yeah.
people who are listening. So I'm not playing stupid at questions. So if I submit, you give me my notes, and then I submit back,
yep.
and I have the opportunity to send it back more than once,
yep.
how often do you need to be getting it so you have enough time to read it by the time the competition comes up?
Well, we hold on to it until a certain point when there is a deadline, because
right.
there are deadlines, but they're long. You know, they're not like, you have to get in by this time, and you can't. Oh, I'll answer this question first.
Mm-hmm.
But... you can keep submitting it, and we'll just say, we're going to hold on to this until you tell us otherwise. Like, and usually people will come back and say, that's the last draft.
Oh, okay.
You know, and they'll say, or the deadline comes, and that's the last draft that we got, and so that's right. the one that we judge off of.
Okay.
And it's all very well structured and organized so that we know who's got what in, and we're reading the right draft
right.
and stuff like that. So,
well, I just want to say this. I appreciate that, because I've won probably 15 competitions, and from Austin to everything,
mm.
at Scriptapalooza, and here's the interesting thing. Your competition, I noticed, I think there's only one, and I think I won it, was that allowed you to resubmit later, but
mm.
what it was if, I think they like switched it, like something happened in the competition, so they were going to allow us to submit in case we did any polishes or something.
Yeah.
But 99.9% of every other competition is like, you cannot resubmit or whatever. And to me, I'm going to interrupt you.
Yeah.
What I love about what you do is, and you can relate to this, Chris, is to me, a lot of those competitions are done by people who aren't actually writing.
Mm.
And here's why
mm-hmm.
I say this. If I give you a script today that I'm passionate about
yeah.
to turn into a competition, a month later, I've probably done three more passes.
Yeah, of course.
So you're not even interpreting the fact that I've done
right.
more work.
That's right.
Now, some people would say, well, you shouldn't have submitted it, right? But
right.
you're giving people a chance to go, no, submit it,
yeah.
let's work on it, and then submit it again.
Right.
So that's where
yeah, I'm see, it's interesting because I feel, you know, like I was looking at the the Molly's Game
right.
draft
yeah.
the other, it should be the day, and, you know, and there on the cover, it's got the three different draft dates. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're like, maybe one is like in September, then there's
right.
one in November, then there's one in December. And it's kind of like, okay, so it's even Sorkin
mm-hmm.
is doing
yeah.
doing work
yeah.
to get it tighter, because he's probably knows he'll be going in production in January 1. So,
well,
you know what I'm saying? So he's like, okay, hold on, I got to get this really, really
I think
good.
That's important for people, for people who are entering script competitions to know is that Aaron Sorkin is rewriting every day. Right. I mean, everybody who is writing every day. It doesn't matter if you're an Academy Award winning writer. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what writing is. It is, I know it's the old trope, but writing is rewriting. Right. This is what you're doing. So, yeah, so we get people who buy notes, and that's fine, and they've won. People who, right. I'm not saying you have to buy notes. There's nothing about that kind of thing. There's no, like, quid pro quo type of stuff. And we've got people who've gotten one set of notes, and then that's then they keep rewriting off of those notes, or somebody else, or they have people who've gotten like six sets of notes and keep working with us, and it's the same person working with you on that draft. Right. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
So it's like it's sort of mirroring the development process where, you know, somebody's familiar with. It's not somebody coming and going like, why did you do that? Right, it's like, hey, you took my note. Cool. Right. Or you didn't take my note. That's fine. Because one of the things that's really important is that what we feel makes the most successful script, whether it's the winner or it gets made or whatever, is your voice. Right. Because, you know, with all these like TV reboots and everything now happening, mm-hmm. it's like the voices, I mean, maybe they're going to change the voice a little bit, mm-hmm. but that's familiar.
Right.
And we want somebody who's got maybe I mean, there's only so many stories, right? But it's the voice that makes it special. So when we give notes, it's always a suggestion. It's never like, well, they didn't take that note, so we're not going to like this better. No, mm-hmm. I mean, this is your material, and we're just here to help. So.
See, you know, it's like, this is, you know, what's his name? Craig Mazin, he did mm-hmm. that. He does a little seminar on how to take notes from a studio executive. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting because he always says, well, he was saying the thing, he was like, it's not necessary to take the exact note that's being offered to you. It's that you have to consider that moment in the script bump someone.
Right.
And you can either say to yourself two things. You can either say, my idea wasn't communicated clearly, so, you know, or my idea needs to be revised.
Right.
And that, I think, so it's one of those things. I mean, like,
honestly, sometimes it's subtle and sometimes it's big.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean,
well, we always do most of the time at the end of the notes, we'll write a little, like, you know, PS saying something like, these are all suggestions, and when we ask questions like, well, how come, you know, Hilliard said this at that point? You mm-hmm. know, sometimes we know the answers. You know, and we're asking you to elaborate.
Right.
And sometimes we don't. And pretty much, if you answer these correctly, you know, correctly, that's not really a good word, but if you answer these with thought and, you know, intent to improve, like you're saying, like there's a bump, then if all the questions are answered, the script is going to get tighter. And that's what we're looking for. So, you know, you may not want to answer all those questions because some people want things unsaid or blah, blah, blah. But these are the things where we stopped and said, wait a second, I stopped. You know, I stopped reading, and that's not what you know, and I had to think about something.
Let me ask, so people are going to be asking. So, so talking about the readers, so who are your readers? Like, who are the people?
Who read?
Besides you. Like, you know, we would all want you to read it, but
who
else is?
I do read, but
you know,
I don't read as much as I used to because I'm, you know, because it's, I'm doing marketing and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I do read. And everybody is either a writer or somebody who is reading for the top script competitions. Okay. And we vet them very carefully because we have a very special way of writing notes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people want to read for us, and I will give them a script, and I will mm-hmm. give them, like, the template of how these notes need to be done. And they can either do it or not.
Right.
And I'm not going to, like, ever say, well, this is kind of good enough.
Right.
And I go over every note, all of the notes that come in, and I rewrite them if they're not written quite as we need to, you know, because we always suggest and we never say need.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do this. You could do this, you ought to try to do this.
Right.
And we
I'm
try
so
and
glad
keep
you said
a balance,
there's
you know,
a, you
of
said
positive
it earlier.
And,
there,
you know,
there's an art to giving notes.
There is.
There's such an art to it.
Yeah.
You about to say something?
I have one thing that you need to do.
Right.
You need not be boring.
That's for sure.
That's the only thing you have to worry about. Yeah.
You know, I read this script last night, and it was really interesting because there wasn't an inciting incident. There wasn't, like, a place where there weren't really acts.
Okay.
It was clearly a very personal story, so right. I was really careful because I didn't want to say, this is too much, right. or this is what it was kind of faith-based, and so I did, that's really care. You got to tread real lightly about that. And I was like, this is kind of just moving along, and there's nothing really happening, but I hear your story.
Is it more just
story.
Like plot or something?
Yeah, it was just plot, but it was sad, you know, it was about somebody dying and a family and so on, and God, and I mean, I actually really enjoyed the read, but it wasn't properly crafted as a script, so that's part of, you know, a lot of the notes that I gave, and it was sort of like, listen, I don't want to tell you how to tell this story, which is clearly your story, but you need to not be boring, essentially. I mean, there was a point where it was like, make this kind of exciting. And you get
turn this up.
Turn this up.
Right,
Turn the beat up. We want to hear that. And we want to feel that. And make sure that you... you can fictionalize, by the way, when you're telling a true story.
You should.
You should, because life is not as interesting. I mean, sometimes it's too interesting, and sometimes it's not interesting enough. But it is to you. Mm-hmm. But you're not writing a memoir. Right. So... You know, you're going to write.
You're writing.
In,
you're ultimately.
Screen,
yeah, you're ultimately writing entertainment. That's interesting. You brought up this faith based. I mean, I remember the first like religious themed movie I remember seeing. It's one of these movies that the inciting incident and all this kind of stuff is kind of like it's really hidden in a weird way. It's called Breaking the Waves.
Oh, I remember that.
And it's this Lars von Trier film from about maybe 97 or something like that. And it doesn't really have, I mean, it definitely has the structure of this beginning, middle, and end, which is your three-act structure, but it plays out in such a very unique way. I think a lot of times people get, if they're telling a story, that's like this personal story, then sometimes they feel like, well, I can't follow these, you know, like these strict things in Hollywood,
because that didn't happen.
You know, but
that didn't happen.
But the thing is, the thing is that I remember there's a book called "I'll Be in My Trailer." It's about a great title.
It's a great title.
I want to say it's like Peter Yates, but it's not Peter Yates. It's one of these directors who's writing about like how do you deal with actors and stuff like that. And he was saying that. In the book, either he said or maybe he said that it was the interview we had with William Friedkin. He was saying that like there's that moment around like 20 minutes into a movie where if the audience will be restless, if they're not locked into the characters, if they're not caring about the people, and I was like, that's an interesting point that a director's making about like how you got to cut the movie, you know. But it also has to do with the craft of how about writing it. You got to have everyone caring at a certain point, and there's that point that you have to lock them in.
That's right.
You know,
and they usually say it's around page 20 where you have to have made your point that then the rest of the script, you know, plays out from.
I try to do mine by like page 14 or 15.
That's great. I mean, but that's even better. Anymore. I mean, I agree that it should be sooner, but I mean, by point, you know, and by the way, I'm a huge fan of scripts that are not like, you know, 1, 2, 3.
Right.
You know, I love things that are
mystery,
more avant-garde,
and they take a little time.
And it'll take their time, character-driven, and you got, you know, it's subtle. It doesn't
curiosity
I don't,
is yeah, flowing
I don't
through
need
it, right.
that sort of like, oh, they hit the, you know, they hit the second act right on time. You know, that's not part of the notes. You know, that's why we're like, hey, the script is from this person, and we have to allow that person to write what they need to write. So, the competition was born from that idea that. Writers should be able to, if you're going to enter a competition and there's some good stuff to gain from it, which I want to talk about, then you should be able to continue to write while you're entered. Now, I do want to mention, because I can't believe that I set these prices the way I did, but I don't have any intention of changing them right now. 6+ pages of notes, and is $100
of notes,
and that also enters you into the competition.
So that's the competition.
Like $60.
That's the price for the competition and the notes.
Yeah, and if you want to just enter the competition, then it's like a normal. It's like $35, $40, and we don't really play around with. Hey, you got to enter. You know, if you're late, you have to enter. You know, pay $75. What the heck is that about? That's purely for money making. There's nothing that changes in how you get read or anything like that. And I was just like, I just want this to be pure. I don't want it to get all complicated with commerce and stuff like that. At the same time, I got to pay my bills.
Right.
But nonetheless, so you get a lot for your money, and
that's a lot of work. I read for Sundance and a bunch of people. That's a lot. 6 pages for each script.
Oh,
that's
lot. I mean, until you're done. Like, I did 9 pages the other day because that's what it took. I mean, and that's fine. I mean, because I'm not going to charge extra for it. That's what it needs. That's what it needs. Right. And this doesn't necessarily mean that it's a terrible script. It just means that, we're that specific. Mm-hmm. And helpful.
See, that's the thing I think where a lot of people don't understand the value of the ask when someone asks you to read their script. Because you're asking...
That's so true.
Most times people are asking... I mean, they ask me because they want notes from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I mean, that's like a half day, maybe. You're pulling out of me.
People think it takes like an hour to read something.
No,
it takes hours.
Right.
And I say to myself, I was like, some of these people I know who write weekly the rewrites,
mm-hmm.
and they're getting like what $250,000 a week
exactly.
and stuff like
right.
that. And you're kind of like, how much is like a half day of their time,
right.
And then you want me to do this for free
because
it's a lot of work.
I mean,
if you want me to read it to say, hey, this is cool, or hey, no, not for me.
Enjoyed it. Good read.
Okay, cool, but. It doesn't matter for me if it's not for me or not because I'm not a producer or actor. It's interesting you do that because people don't even realize how much work.
It's a lot of work.
So much work.
I got to tell you, what's really interesting is that we take screenplays and pilots, and I could do 6 pages on a 29-page pilot easily as on a 120-page script.
Absolutely.
When we first started, and I'd get like a 29-page. A sitcom or something, and mm-hmm. I think, am I going to get 6 pages out of it? Oh, yeah. I mean, and by the way, notes don't, as we said, necessarily mean that it's not a good piece of writing.
No, you might be talking about things that are great.
Yeah, it's talking about more of this,
right.
or, here's an idea, and it's always, this is just a suggestion,
right.
but hey, this popped into my head, and, now for the rest of, for all my life, and I'm sure it's the same with you guys, mm-hmm. Watching movies is like, I can't stop thinking about everything at the same time.
Chris and I talk about this all the time. we'll have a guest
like
on. We'll have a guest on, or before we really start the show, we're just chopping it up, shooting the shit.
Yeah.
And we're talking about whatever the latest show is or whatever. And 9 times out of 10, we probably haven't seen it
mm-hmm.
yet. And it's for my reason is I'm here writing most of the day.
Yeah.
So by the time I get home, I want to watch Top Chef.
Yeah.
And I just want to get out of my head.
Because
as soon as I turn on Game of Thrones, I'm like, what page are we on? Well, why did they do that?
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean?
I know.
It's hard to get out of your head.
Well, that's true. That's how I really gauge really strong movies.
Yeah,
is
me too.
It takes you back out of it, right?
It takes you out.
It does.
Like, you just stay in the story. Mm-hmm. And you don't, like, the other night, my brother wanted to watch Chef again. He hadn't.
Oh, yeah. I watched that fairly recently.
And we had seen it before when it was out, and mm-hmm. I haven't seen it in a long time. And it's such a great movie because it doesn't, it's a little unconventional in the structure.
Yeah.
But you don't.
That's what's his name, the director, right?
Jon Favreau,
yeah.
But you're watching it and you don't really pay attention, to what's happening, like, structure-wise, because he's so good at it, and like,
it's a frenzy
there's a speed to it. I mean, the one thing I noticed this time that I didn't notice last time, but I was thinking about it, is that I said to myself, wait a minute. Who's the chef that they found in real life that has those tattoos on his arms?
Because he can cook. He can really cook.
Favreau?
Yes.
It's not Roy Choi? Because
I believe from what I heard back when they were making it, he really can cook. That's why they wanted to do the movie.
Okay, because I was curious. I was just curious because I was like, those he's tattoos. He's a foodie. I get that. You can be a foodie, but not, I mean, but he's like cooking. So
it's perfect. It's perfect. Right, right.
It's,
I see what
but you're it's going. Just one thing where, but the, I mean, it's an interesting movie that you watch it and it really grabs you. And I think, it's got great musical choices. And the musical choices kind of like string you along in an interesting way that you're not watching. You know what I mean? And it's I brought it up because you guys talk about Chopped and Top Chef. Right. Yeah. It's like there's those scenes in that movie where the action scenes are him cooking food.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and it's really interesting.
Very, like,
think about
the
it.
The angles.
Yeah, the angles and how fast he's cutting ropes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. So, but that's a movie that doesn't follow that convention, but still takes you through a complete story. I think that's what you're saying too about like a sitcom. It's still a complete story. If it's done well, it doesn't matter if it's 20 pages or 120 pages. You still talk about it.
I had a client, and I've always wondered whether this was true, because I thought it was a fascinating thing to say, who was a real, had done so many sitcoms. And she said, for a half hour sitcom, you should be able to open up to any page and know what it's...
Really?
What's going on?
I've never heard that. Interesting.
And I was like... So now when I do that, I'm sort of, I don't judge on that, but I'm always sort of like, it's a good thing to have an understanding of when you, if you open up to something, is it like somebody's talking about, you know, moose for 5 pages, you know, like, why are we all of a sudden talking about moose when, you know, we're in a, you know, whatever, because people do veer off and then, you know, and it's like, this isn't your, I mean, this can be your own personal story that you just want to write or, you know, something that you've always just wanted to write. It's not personal, but it's an idea that you've always wanted to write. But if it's not, you got to, you know, you got to play by some rules.
Right.
And so we often gently say, you know, it would be better if this worked.
Hey, Chris, has Paul ever told you his thing that he does when he reads scripts?
No.
He learned it from some famous writer way back in the day. I forget what it's called. In essence, he'll read like the first like 4 or 5 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember right, he skips to, it's like there's numbers. It's like page 1 through 4. Then he goes from like page, I don't remember, I'm off, but let's just say around midpoint somewhere. And then he gets into, you know, all is lost or whatever. Like, and then he makes a decision, and that's all he reads.
Oh, that's weird.
He reads those first 4. He skips over to those. He just turns to see. Okay,
it's like reading the end of the book before find out who the killer is.
It's mainly about Act 2. It's about seeing where you are in Act 1, seeing if by Act 2 have you started. Does it tie back into what you
have you put them somewhere?
Right. And then where are you in all is lost? Okay, it's interesting.
So, yeah, I mean, like, so there's, I can't remember, some executive was telling me he does that. This is maybe like 20 years ago. I don't know if they do it now. But he would read like the first 10 pages. He'd read like 50 to 60, and then he'd read the last 10.
Wow.
Because it was like, it's the same thing you're saying. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, do you take the character on the journey, and at that
have they changed, you know, or whatever?
Yeah, right? and those like kind of like points in the story is the emotional journey of the character,
right.
And almost doesn't matter what's happening plot wise because you could that stuff could change any time for any writer, any rewrite, for whatever it is, but the characters you created in the beginning in those first 10 pages. You know, is it so like crystal what his problem is and what he's going to go through? And you know, is he at his point where it's gonna break him in the middle? And then how does he resolve it?
Yeah.
And that's kind of all that you want to see. You know,
that's interesting because I used to read for competitions where you could enter in your first 20 pages, which I think is a load of. Because you don't know what's going to... I mean, first of all, the first 20 pages are important.
Right.
But
that's not where you start to fall off.
No. But absolutely. Right. But it was sort of like, we, you know, great stuff happens after page 20,
right.
You know, and sometimes page 20, up, you know, from 1 to 20 needs some work.
Mm-hmm.
But to say, you know, this isn't working, who knows what's going on character-wise or what, you know, interesting people come in and start making.
Well, some of the big competitions do that, like Sundance. Yeah. You know what I mean? Where like send us stuff. It used to be the first when I was in Sundance, we had to send the first five, if I recall, and then it was like you get that email going, okay, now send us the script. Wow.
Yeah, see, I always had a real problem with
that. Now I think it's 10.
I can't figure, I mean, because I'm open to things not being as conventional.
Okay.
And I think that things aren't always conventional. I mean, we're looking for the best writing. If it happens to be a great big commercial action movie or some huge comedy, then that's great too. And if it follows, you know, things to a T, that's fine. But I'm not... That's not my first, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know that makes the writing. I mean, that makes the craft of writing particular. But writing sometimes takes you on a journey that's a little off kilter. And so for me, sometimes, even though those pages are important because you know you want to stay tuned, but to judge a script based on them and then you know sort of say, well, you know. It's not going to go further, or these are bad pages.
Let's talk about TV for a second. Chris and I both write TV also. Did you see the Glenn Mazzara posted on Facebook? In essence, he basically said to all you writers, if you're still using act breaks, don't. In essence, is what he said. He was like, you're wasting your time. I don't care if it's network or if it's cable, whatever. Mm-hmm. Basically, that's what you just do. Mm-hmm. And the fucking Facebook went in.
Oh, I bet.
Showrunners to everybody is like, well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, what about that? Well, yeah, I kind of agree. But and then everybody's,
I haven't seen it because I don't stay on Facebook a lot because it's just, I kind of, in the last year, well, I basically got off at the election.
I canceled my cable after the election.
It's hard to be on the Facebook.
And it's not that I still keep it. I still go on it once a week or review things. But I felt like in the fall before the election, my feed got so toxic, and I just was like all you know. And then obviously we found out why because of this interference stuff like this. But at the time, I just was kind of like, you know what, I just need to worry about. What's important to me.
What's in front of
me. And I have a very strong way of getting information that's interesting to me anyway. You know, like I read the New York Times every day. Yeah. I've got the RSS feed for other stuff I'm interested in. I just go through that. And I don't need to have people kind of post things and they have that algorithm to decide what you're going to see. And all this kind of craziness. I'm just kind of like, you're trying to like condition me in a way that's not cool for me.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd be curious to look at that because for me, it's like, I don't disagree. I'm not sure how executives feel about not having the act breaks though. I mean, to me, it's like there's a creative element, you know, who wants to kind of do something a little different and then and be a little freer with their how they tell their stories, as opposed to how a network executive is going to be like, well, this isn't hitting the beat, you know. to get out and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, because networks are so dependent on, like, the act breaks for them is basically where their commercial is.
Yeah.
And I remember there's that really great quote that Sean Ryan wrote. He was like, you know, write every scene like this is going to be the commercial break. It's got to end with that power. But I kind of feel like I understand what Glenn is saying because he's probably saying there's so many people who are like.
Okay, I found it. Let me just say what he said.
Yeah.
He said, to any wannabe writer working on the spec script, no act breaks. They're old fashioned and add nothing to your script. Most folks don't know how to use them anyway. Just write 60 pages straight through. And then all of the fucking Facebook ones.
I gotta check that out
I'm gonna say that because
some people are like, no, put it in. No. And some people are like, yeah, I kind of agree. I agree with them personally.
I
think it's important to write.
We'll see.
You know, and keep writing until you're finished.
I think you should be able to write.
About,
I think you should be able to write and in your head be able to go, oh, that was clearly the end of Act 1.
Right.
You should be able to feel that.
You can
in
go
my
back.
Opinion.
You know what I mean? Point,
see,
you know?
The question also you gotta say to yourself is he talking about in the draft you turn in?
I'm talking about for TV. Because
I get that. Because for instance, you know, like, okay, so there's a project my brother and I are working on.
Right.
and the people saw our deck and they wanted to see the Bible. And I was like, oh, and then we'll see the pilot.
Right.
Now, I remember the pilot, there's no act breaks in the pilot.
Okay.
But I remember that when we outlined it with act breaks.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so yeah. I was like, yeah, because like I'm trying to figure out like the page count, you know, like right. the I mean, like I kind of feel like if you look at television, it's, you know, it's that. It's kind of that five-act structure, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like, this is why I kind of just disagree with Gunnar a little bit. It's like, you know, like, if you understand how Shakespeare kind of uses those five acts, which is different than the three-act structure, then it gives you something to kind of work around as a skeleton for your story. Because right. I think that where people fail when they're young, they haven't been through as many rooms as he has and done as much television right. as, they're not aware about the momentum you got to keep up and things like that. And they're not really aware of this kind of stuff where they're worrying about the A story, the B story, and the C story. Right. Because if you're so like in tune with that, you're not writing specs like he's saying. Like, I'll write it, you know what I'm saying? Because you're not really necessarily, you're probably on a show. You don't have to worry about that.
Right.
And I kind of feel like...
Well, I don't think he's telling you not to use act breaks. Because I do the same thing you do. I'll write the act breaks in my outline, but in the script, they're not there. I just know it's there, and you can tell it's there because I always yeah. give you a big cliffhanger or something. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, something is just going to happen.
Right, right. So I'm just saying I agree with him that way, but...
I do tend to take, I have to admit that I'm much stricter in television when I give notes
right.
to say, because a lot of scripts come in and they don't have acts. And I'm sort of like, listen, you know, if you're going to win this and we're going to send this out and mm-hmm. you're going to meet with all of these people and, you know, get
But
this
some
made.
Shows are meant for cable, though. You know what I mean?
That's all I'm true. Saying. Right. A lot of the times I say, you got to kind of know where the act breaks right. are. Whereas if with, screenplays, I'm much, much
leaner
okay. about it. Yeah, I'm just more like, yeah, you know, I can't, yeah, this
yeah,
is
roughly
this is there.
Around
yeah, it's
here,
roughly right. around there. Right. Or yeah, I feel that, you know, kind of more so.
Right.
But like we're an international competition, so we get a lot of writing from the UK and right. Australia and Europe and stuff. As long as it's English,
and like know, they cap their character names throughout the entire scripts.
They cap the, and they don't. Often they don't use act breaks at right. all. So it's sort of like, okay.
Well, oh, right. what, for their TV?
Yeah, British. TV. Shows, yeah.
Yeah, well, cause, I mean, it's here, you know, one of the things about, you were saying earlier about hit these numbers and stuff like this for screenplays. I mean, I feel you're kind of more of a slave to having to have your act breaks on television because it's an hour. They're giving you an hour right. or maybe 55 minutes. You know, it's not this. Some shows, because they're successful, they can, you know, there might be 72 minutes, something like that for season finales.
Right.
But movies can range in length from 90 minutes to 120, most of them, or even longer. So if your movie...
Some be 3 hours, depending who it is, right?
Well, you need that structure.
Yeah.
There needs
yeah.
to be some yes. structure right. of that
yeah.
at the time.
Yeah, you yeah. have to figure out how to do that. And, right. and you also got to know that, you know... I mean, it's, you know, it's like I was talking with like Anel the other day mm-hmm. about Amadeus, you know, and it's like it's an almost 3 hour movie, you know,
movie.
But you watch the movie and it's like it's so captivating and it doesn't seem like it's 3 hours and you don't care.
I didn't even remember it being 3 hours. Really?
It's close to 3 hours. It's like 2 hours and 15 minutes, and the director's cut is like 3 hours and 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. But
it's told like, you he was cinephile, Jen.
I know. Yeah. I'm like, I wasn't joking.
But it's like one of those things where you watch
that 3 hours and 11 minutes
in 30 seconds, rather.
No, the director's cut is a movie. It's a different movie. It's right. it's different. It's different in terms of like there's a moment in the end of the movie. If you've seen the movie where Salieri comes to Mozart's house when he's sick, mm-hmm. and his wife is like so treating him like this sharp kind of like, you know, like I can't believe you, just anger in mm-hmm. her, you know, and you kind of like, well, you get it because he's, you know, because he's not getting Mozart a job and stuff like that, and he doesn't want to control that. But in the director's cut, you find out that there's a big scene where he's like, if you want your husband to work, I want sex from you.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. Hey. And she's like, no, we're not. And she's like, I'm not doing that.
So that got cut.
That got cut.
Interesting.
And what you see is two or three other moments where he has jobs mm-hmm. where like with Salieri, he's not just mad that he got scorned. He goes out and badmouths Mozart to these to these wealthy people saying, "Watch out with Mozart with your daughter, because your daughter will get raped by him," and wow. stuff like that. And so, and there's a couple of scenes like that, and mm-hmm. the wife picks up that's what happened. So at the end of the movie, you know that's why she's that angry.
It's a callback to that.
Yeah, okay. It's really, but so it's, that's what's cut out. But you watch that movie, and you don't even know what is happening. You know, like it's you're like act breaks. Act breaks. I'm not even sure where they are in that movie because it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah,
you know, it's such a good story. You know.
But anyway, acts are but a minor note at times, you know. I mean, that ultimately can just be something that's not that urgent in the script. It's character, it's, you know, dialogue, it's emotion, it's theme, it's all of those things, tone, making sure all of that is consistent and stuff like that. So anyway.
So you guys are open now for submissions?
Open now.
When do you end?
We don't end until July. I mean, that's how long it is, because we want people to get their notes and not have to rush to rewrite. And they can, you know, there are early bird and regular deadlines. I mean, there's deadlines just to give it a structure, essentially, like we just talked about, but they're not that important, because if you get it in and then you're like, I want, actually, you know what, 2 months later you decide I want notes, then come and get notes, or don't, or rewrite it on your own, or whatever.
Yeah, you get those epiphanies.
And you do. You've put it in the drawer, and we're waiting to see what happens, and then you get an epiphany, and you want to redo it, and you just all you have to do is email us and say, this is a new draft of my script, you know, Hill Dog, by Hilliard Guest.
Which is a hit, by the way.
Studios are, you know, it's like a studio.
It's about a young pimp, you know, from the hood.
Hard on the deuce. Hard on the deuce for a pimp. Remember that one?
Is that, yeah, of course.
Yeah. But, so we had a, can I talk a little bit about what you get?
Yeah, what I was going to ask you also was, do you have any success stories from?
Yeah.
You
know, stuff I mean, like that. Now that we've got a couple of years in, we've had some really great success stories. We're in the middle of one right now, which I'm really proud of. And our winner last year is a writer named R.B. Ripley, and he wrote a pilot, our pilot, called Sugarland. Mm. And it was unanimously, you know, every judge was like, this is the script, this is it. So, and I
can you say what it's about?
Can you say
what it's about?
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially about, it takes place in the 70s in Texas, and it's about a woman who kind of finds herself through Texas politics, kind of, which is old boy, you know, old school politics, and it's a great, you know, a great lead and great characters and humor and smarts and a real, you know, and the lead is, what I loved about it is that the lead is a 45-year-old woman.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and so we are currently out to someone I can't talk about, but it's out to one of the top actresses on television, and one of the success stories of it, well, there's a bunch of success stories of it, which is, first of all, last year we had 28 mentors for him to meet.
What? Okay?
This year we have 32.
Really?
Yeah. So he was supposed to meet the 28 mentors. He ended up probably meeting more like 38.
Oh, because they started referring
him to people. And then I'd think of somebody else that I wanted him to meet and stuff like that. And so he's been a very, very busy boy. Right. And he's a really talented guy. And
he can write strong women. That's
amazing. And he can write strong women.
That's great.
Really, really well. And really interesting, you know, melange of characters and themes and everything. It's
voice.
Such a good voice.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And voice. He's got a big voice in this. And I remember one of the judges said, actresses will cage fight for this role.
Ooh, that's great.
Yeah, it's a great female. I mean, I know people aren't supposed to say it's a great female.
We need to figure out a way to make that into a shirt where you're telling writers that's what you want. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Something about that. That's interesting. He's got a new shirt line that he's doing with a bunch of different themes.
Yeah, that's great.
It's interesting.
So I love it. And anyway, it's two writers. I mean, two of the mentors are producing it.
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, and I can't say who it is yet, blah, blah, blah. But And CAA is ready to, the actress that we're out to is not with CAA,
okay.
But if she doesn't come aboard, CAA...
They want to package it.
They've got the plethora of people they want to put on, you know.
It's full, right. It's like in high gear, and yeah. I'm so proud of it, and it represents us so well, and it's just done. I mean, he's a really talented guy, and he's got other things going on, but he's this has really been a great thing
good.
For him.
That's
so that's one thing. A lot of semifinalists and finalists have gotten representation.
Yeah.
We got one of our people from the first year, Mazar Lahoudi, who is Iranian living in Australia. I was born
right.
for
she said they were
life.
International, yeah.
Yeah. He came in third in our first year. He mm-hmm. got Australian and U.S. representation from
okay,
that.
Fine.
So
all
he's
right.
cooking. And that's he's still, also still. A director, a really talented guy.
Mm-hmm.
And our first runner-up the second year, our first year, sorry, first second runner-up first year, placed semifinal in nickel. And that's something that we encourage. Like, take the draft that we helped you improve and go put it
go
in
to
another
go to
contest
other places,
to
right.
go somewhere else with
mm-hmm.
it. I mean, use it. Like, none of this, we'll give you notes, but at the end.
Right.
What good does that do me mm-hmm. in this competition?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I need the notes now. And that was the point of the competition okay. starting. I need them now. And
see,
I need
it's,
to see,
it's interesting
moving.
Because it's like, you know, like, I've seen a few of the ones that people talk about a lot, and I'm always... kind of, I'm skeptical about a lot of them. I mean, obviously not nickels because it's so prestigious and stuff like that. But I just look at it as like, is it a money grab for these people? I mean, what are they helping you?
It's a money grab
if they're not giving you notes at the right time or at the end. Because they see to me, if you give me notes at the end and say, oh, so you're
right.
like...
You didn't make it,
you
now
didn't
here's
make
your
it,
notes.
Notes.
Yeah.
It's like,
right.
dude, I could have made
yeah.
these changes.
But that was
right.
the whole... That's how the idea came, was...
Yeah,
you know,
and
what's
that's
the
great.
Point
yeah.
if you can't get the notes
yeah, yeah,
while you're
right.
in... While it's still open.
And it's
and
a trick because you know producers and stuff will get on board with something and say... Here's a few changes that I want to see.
Right,
you know, before we go out.
And,
I mean, like you said before, it's like that you're trying to
mirror it.
Yeah, to mirror that development
yeah.
process. Because
yeah.
there's never a script that just like jumps.
No.
Here it is. First up, and let's go to talent.
Right.
No,
because
no.
I think what people don't get is it goes back to my thing I was telling you before. People don't want to make your movie. People want to make. Their
yeah, version of
version
the movie.
Movie. Yeah.
yeah, that's true,
and it has to reflect to what they want to. What they love is the idea that they've been thinking about, and that oh, here's a script that I didn't even think about. Just
right.
it fits a need they want. But in doing that, because they've thought about this subject, whoever it is, they got to put their hands on it. They
yeah.
got to put their hands on it. Mm-hmm. Or
but that's why the voice needs to be strong enough to get
through that,
that kind
to,
of stuff.
To
like
take that.
It can't get watered down in that process. Because it will. The process will water it,
right.
will
yeah.
change it. Maybe it won't water it down, but it will change it to some degree. But as for other competitions, I try not to think a lot about them because
mm-hmm.
I don't do them the way they do them. Like some of them don't give those notes, so right. I don't know how that helps the writer.
Right.
You know, I mean, it helps the writer if they win.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get to meet a bunch of people or they win a couple $1,000
right.
or a trip to LA. And that's very cool.
Right.
There's no doubt about that. But this is really about writing. This is about improving your writing as
mm-hmm.
you go. So not only that, but, what did I want to say? I think that if people are, there are some competitions where it's like 59 early bird, 69,
right.
you know, regular,
mm-hmm.
79. I'm like,
for the late,
what?
For the late entrance.
Right.
For what? I don't get that.
Money
that's,
grab.
That's
it's the
money
kind of
thing
grab.
That it's like, no,
right.
that I don't believe in. And I don't care what you're getting at the end for it. That
mm-hmm.
smells bad to me.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to name the competition, but there was one that
but
I,
it starts with a.
But, well, no, there was one that I used to see every once in a while. And then I was like, something happened. I found out who was behind it.
Yeah.
And one of the guys behind it was this real charlatan snake producer
yeah.
that I knew from a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was kind of like, he was all about money grabs back then and cheating people out of money back like then.
Yeah.
So I can't believe, I mean, it makes sense, but they have this
yeah.
triple early, late fee.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of stuff. I was like, you just want the money.
Yeah. Right. But that's why one of the reasons I really wanted to keep it like reasonable and not. not I think
it's
not changing.
I think it's 100% reasonable. I'm telling you that totally from reasonable. Being in this industry for a long time and having done a lot of those competitions. Yeah. It's
well, I mean, the notes is crazy reasonable.
Very reasonable, you know?
Well, yeah.
I mean, Pilar Alessandra is my girl.
Oh, yeah.
And you could never get her to do that for that amount.
Because she's, what, 250 or something like that? There more?
No, I know. I mean, it's a lot of work. Yeah. I mean,
the class is 250. Like,
right,
yeah.
The class is that.
Yeah, it takes
her
up
time,
a lot of
you're going to be in the high fours and fives.
Can I tell you some of the people that we have?
Sure.
Because I know we're probably running low.
Yeah, I'm going to.
So we got 32 mentors. And let me tell you that everybody I ask wants to do this because they get it, because it's not just putting their name on a competition and maybe they'll get some good material, that they get that it's actually helping writers. Yeah. And these are people that I think I choose to go to because I think they are going to be good mentors, not just somebody who I can put on a website that, you know, looks good. Some of it, I mean, I want it to look good, but also I mean, we have had that experience that people continuing to mentor people. They're they're involved. Two mentors came aboard to produce this pilot. Obviously they care. So 32 people. And by the way, in the US, the UK, Canada, and Australia. So if you're Canadian and you've won, or your script is good enough to maybe you didn't win, but I think maybe at the end, maybe we should send it to the Canadian producer or the Canadian agent. There is one on the list.
Okay.
And there's Australians on the list, and there's a bunch of UK people on the list. So it's not like you have to come to LA to meet everybody or to get something from it. You know, there are going to be enough people.
That's good, too. That's real good, too.
Yeah, so we have 13 reps, 13 agents and managers.
Okay.
Varying sizes, varying companies, you know, top companies, top UTA, Untitled, Gotham Group, people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bradley Bredewig, do you know Bradley?
Mm-mm.
Bradley created The Fosters. Okay. Bradley also produced.
With Peter.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know
with
why.
Peter Page,
Yeah.
Bradley, they created The Fosters. He also produced Dear Evan Hansen on Broadway. They're doing a bunch of new stuff now.
Right.
So anyway, Bradley is, you know, was show created and was the showrunner for that. And now he's doing a new ABC series, Harmony. Joey Chavez, who is senior VP production at TNT.
Okay.
I'm just trying to hit the big, not that everybody isn't big, but the ones that are going to, Elaine Goldsmith Thomas, who represents J-Lo and produces everything that J-Lo does and produces some of her own stuff, did a lot for Julia Roberts.
So she helps her with
Halle
her company
Berry.
Too, then, right?
Yeah,
right.
She's like the head of, she and Benny Medina, the head of her company. Ellen Goldsmith Vane, who founded the Gotham Group.
Right.
And then we have people like Peter Iliff, who wrote Point Break and wrote Patriot Games and people like that. Karen Lunder, who produced Arrival and is senior VP at Imagine now.
It's Eric's movie.
Yeah. Mark Morgan, who produced all of the Twilight movies.
Okay.
Abdi Nazemian. I'm going to try and wrap it up. Abdi Nazemian, who was one of the producers on Call Me By Your Name.
Love that movie.
I need to see that. I'm going to ask you about that.
Stephen Rogers, who's long.
You might want to watch it on the big screen.
I do. That's why I said I'm watching
it. Don't watch it on your phone. Stephen Rogers, who wrote and produced I, Tonya.
Right.
Old friend of mine. Nina Sadowski.
Yeah, we had him come talk to us at the LGBT committee.
He's awesome. He's the greatest
guy.
Good.
He has some funny stories.
He's funny as heck. And when I asked him to do it, I was like, you know, you don't have to. I was like, I knew how busy he was, and I was like, you just have to get on the phone with them or whatever. Coffee. He's like, I'll take him to lunch. He's like, I'm not going to.
He knows. He understands what it's like.
He's been through it, man.
You know, there's a funny story. I think he was telling NPR about how he had. I think. Written two or three other scripts for Alice and Janie, and
they've been friends forever.
Right.
And they were like, no, not her. And he said for this script, he said when he was selling, he was like, oh, and the mom is played by Alice and Janie, and he hadn't told her that yet.
You're right.
Oh, she's happy
just was
now.
Like out pushing it. Well, she got to be involved. And they were like, okay, and they were like, okay, and then they asked her, and I think he said he was like, okay, they want to do the movie. So are you free to do it?
Right.
Oh, she'll do anything.
But that's his friend. So he knew her.
For a long time.
She's great, though.
She's awesome. A couple of others, Colin Vaines, who produced Gangs in New York. He just produced Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool with Annette Bening. My Week with
title.
Marilyn, you know, with Michelle Williams, played Marilyn Monroe. Lots of filmmakers, lots of writer filmmakers this year, so that people are feeling themselves in that process and can hear and hear that process, and not just, it's not just about selling it, but learning it and being mentors. So 32 people around the globe.
And I'll put this out there if it's open to you.
Yeah, I'll give you all this.
I'll have the winner on the show.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Thank you.
So, yeah.
Oh, that would be great.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank
TV
you.
And the film. We'll have both on.
We actually only have one. We have three winners. Grand prize, first runner-up, second runner-up. But we haven't split it yet between pilot and TV. I mean, pilot and feature. That may be something we do in the future. So it's like whoever's the best script.
Whoever's the best script, let me know.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. and by the way, our first winner in the first year, it was his first script. So, you know, like he got notes and he rewrote it and stuff. He's just a really good writer.
Right.
You don't have to have done 10 scripts to win this. That may be what it is. And there is a limit to the amount of money that you've kind of made, and you can't be a professional writer and all of that kind of stuff. But like we, you know, I mean, man, woman, child, you could be under 20, you can be over 40. Right. Like we're about the writing.
Okay.
We're about the work.
All right. So where are you at, Jenny? Where can we find you on?
We are at www.finishlinescriptcomp.com Finish Line Script on Twitter and Finish Line Script Competition on Facebook. Yeah. And we're at Film Freeway. That's our place.
Okay.
And Finish Line.
That's
where I sat. And there's money. There's prizes as well. And, you know, there's good prizes and all that stuff. So it's not just about the mentoring. But really, that is what
you guys are doing something different.
I want the money.
I think that's great.
Listen, the money will pay the rent so you can go on all those meetings and pay for coffee. But, you know, it's like, no, we really want to help you guys, help the writer.
Right.
And I know you want me to stop, but I'm going to say one more thing. This is how, and my father is like furious with me for this, but we gave away 49% of our earnings last year to charity.
Oh yeah, that's, I forgot about that part of it.
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, the world is in a place, man, where people need a little. Not like I'm taking it all in at $79 a pop. It's $40 a pop.
Right.
And 100 for script plus entry. And at the end of the day, half of that or ish, we're going to give away to some pretty awesome charities. And the winner gets to give away 5% of our earnings.
Of yours?
Of our earnings to a charity of their choice. Or charities.
Never heard that of any competition.
That might be my pocket charity.
Give to the Chris Derrick Fund over there, y'all.
Hey, if you can prove it, we'll give it to you. But we want it to be a little. Life is. It's not just about placing a script competition.
Right.
It's bigger than that, and that's what we want. We want you to get bigger.
That's what's up. Where are you at, Chris?
All right.
I'm at DerrickBrothers.com Unauthorized CBD on Twitter and Instagram.
Okay. Yeah. Shadowbox Cinema.
Oh, and you can find me at Shadowbox or Cinema. Like, that's where DerrickBrothers.com takes you to.
Okay,
Shadowbox,
cool.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm your host, Hilliard Guest. You guys can find me on Twitter at Hilliard Guest. You guys can follow the show, Screenwriters RR, on Twitter. Any questions, ScreenwritersRentRoom@gmail.com. Please go on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. We need that for the metrics. And
I'm going to do that right now.
Yes, please. And what else? A lot of stuff's going on. This is actually going to be a good year.
Good.
Yeah. I don't want to jinx them. So I'm not going to say nothing. Yeah, I'll leave it right there. So y'all know how we do it on a Rant Room. On this show, we keep it real. We keep it opinionated. We keep it what, y'all?
Wakanda.
Peace, y'all.
What?
I'ma say what I feel. And I promise to keep it real. Welcome to the Rant Room. Be a
rider. Well, you gotta be a rider till your fears are diminishing, the doubts are behind ya. It's hard to grind and the business got me stressed. In the rent room, we let that shit up off our chest. You know the street nerd has got no time for no caca. Sass in class, yes, that's Mr. Bolakaja. Never have to guess when you're listening to Hilliard. He gon' bring more game than a shark playing billiards. It's all about the crap of screenwriting. It's exciting when you turn an outline into something enlightening. Your pen and words are like bullets in a gun. Write what you feel, say what you want. Welcome to the Red Room.